The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today, technically, is Thursday, and in every other way, it is also Thursday. Aren't we lucky? Albin, Chris, welcome to Thursday.
Thank you. Thank you. There's snow outside my window, so I'm wearing my Christmas sweater.
I'm so glad it's only outside your window. Lucky you. Hey, listen, we've got a couple of things that I have to mention urgently. In a few minutes, we're going to have our guest in the first hour is Doug Giles. Man, there is nobody like Doug Giles. He's like an invented character, except that's who he is. Wait till if you don't know him, don't move. There's nobody like him. That's a compliment. All right. I have to mention two things. I want to mention Mike Lindell, but before that, I have to say my book, Fish Out of Water, A Search for the Meaning of Life, is launching next Tuesday. This is very important. We should have done way more as a run-up to this. So if you're listening, folks, please make sure you're subscribed to my emails. We're sending out all kinds of excerpts from the book every day, a lot of stuff, photographs and things, just so you can have a sense of a really good sense of what it's all about. You're going to get so much, you're not going to buy the book. So, but seriously, like videos, all kinds of stuff that we're sending out every day. But here's the urgent thing. Salem Radio, we're on Salem Radio right now. They're doing a special event next Tuesday night, the 2nd of February, okay? That's the launch day for the book. It is an opportunity to ask me questions like in a video format, right? Now, they were charging $199 to participate because they could only get up to 20 people. It's like a 90-minute, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours. It's just going to be me like this kind of answering questions and talking about the book. But if you want to participate, and they were, you know, so they sent this out to the list for $199 to be part of this like special event. And obviously they have to cover their costs and everything like that. So, but I think that's way too much. And so I asked them to cut it in half, and even that's probably too much. So this is going to be free on Facebook Live, and we're going to put it out on YouTube and all that stuff. So you can watch it live and you can watch it afterward, but we still need people to sign up at the half price, $99, to be a part of it. Now, I promise you, I'm not going to humiliate you. We're going to have fun. If you can do this, or your family wants to chip in and do this, or you know somebody who wants to do this, they have room for up to 20. And of course, I'm getting the word out a couple of days beforehand. So I just want to say, if you participate, you get to be a part of the whole thing, and you're going to come on and ask me a question. And I promise you, we don't care what you could ask. Anything, you could say any dumb thing, any smart thing. You can ask me a question I can't answer. You can ask me a private question. You can do anything you like. To me, it's all about having fun. And it's
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question.
$89. Go ahead.
No, you know, you have all these Greek relatives, and I can just imagine, you know, one of your relatives being like, why you keep the fish out of water? What did the fish do? Right?
Yeah. If my relatives were Italian, that would have been appropriate.
That's a pizza fish.
Nobody can do a Greek accent.
Eric, I'm just realizing it's like people have an opportunity to be either Chris or me or both of us for the evening. You know what I mean? We can come on and ask you anything.
The only thing is this, they're just going to ask one question. In other words, there's no pressure to have a big conversation with me. But I just think it's fun. And Salem thought, we can only fit that many people to participate. So maybe 20 people, if we get that many to sign up, or 10, or whoever signs up for $99. I don't know how many they have yet, but I know they said they still have spaces. So I should talk about it on the program. So if you want to sign up to do this, and I promise you, like, it could be a 5-year-old asking the question, a 10-year-old, a 100-year-old, like, whatever it is, this is going to be fun. It's like, you can ask the question and I'm going to respond, and this will go on about an hour and a half event. So this is an event to launch my book, Fish Out of Water. If you cannot pay $99 and be one of the people asking the question, you can watch the whole thing. That's the idea. We're going to do this for anybody who wants to tune in. And I really do hope that a lot of people tune in, because I promise you it's going to be fun. This is the kind of thing that I love. It's just a lot. To me, I love doing this kind of Q&A and whatever with people. So, but in order to sign up for it, you have to go, you have to either get my newsletter, or if you follow me on Twitter, I'm out of Twitter jail. My communist captors have released me briefly to make a video to the folks at home. And so I'm putting this on Twitter. I'm putting it on Facebook. I'll put it on Gab or on Instagram or wherever you follow me. But the easiest thing is either go to metaxastalk.com or get my newsletter, which I keep harping on, because I promise you there's stuff in there like every single day that, you know, I think it'll be fun. So the newsletter is at ericmetaxas.com. If you go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter, and it doesn't go through, which has been happening to a bunch of people, just email us right there where it says contact. Give us your email. Give us the emails of your whole family. We'll put them in, whatever you want to do, okay? But the key here is to tell you that this is happening next Tuesday night. The book is launching. I'm doing everything I can to promote it during these weird times. It's weird. I'm going to be doing some events. I'm speaking in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in about 10 days from now. I might be doing something in Nashville. I'm definitely coming to Charleston the following week. And then I think I'm going to San Diego the weekend after that. Like, I'm going to be traveling quite a bit and coughing and, you know, getting COVID, giving COVID, you know, the whole beautiful thing that we're all part of right now. And also, if you want, now this is key. I think I said this the other day. I literally signed 1,500 copies of my book. Have I ever mentioned this? It's called Fish Out of Water, A Search for the Meaning of Life. And I signed the title page. So we had my daughter and lovely Katie, Madonna, she was there. And then Rich Coleman, who runs the bookstore in Queens, they were all there helping, turning to this title page so that I could sign the title page with my little hand, look, with this hand and this pen. And so I signed it. It's all legible. I hate when authors just go like,
wait a minute, clarification. You wrote this? This is great.
Yeah, no, not only did I write it, but I printed it in my basement. Actually, that's not true. We farmed that out to the publisher. But I just want to say that there's a lot of kooky stuff in the book. I'm really proud of it. And it's a lot of family stuff. But if you want a signed, now, if you go to Amazon or whoever, one of these places, it's $32.99 right now. Eventually, they will lower that price dramatically, I'm sure. But right now, if you want a signed copy, you have to go to SocratesInTheCity.com. And for $25, this is a special pre-launch price. After February 2nd, it goes up to the normal price of $35 for a signed copy. But from now till the end of the day, February 2nd, the book is $25. This is a hardcover book, lots of color photos, glossy paper. Ooh, it's expensive. And $25. So I promise you, it's going to be very tough to get one of those after February 2nd. So if you want to do that, go to SocratesInTheCity.com. It does make a good gift for people who are not on the same page as I am politically or theologically. It's just a fun book for everybody. It's a memoir, I say. I hope people enjoy it. Before we go to our guest, I have to mention, first of all, don't forget about the Ask 20 Questions. Please, if you're interested, sign up ASAP because it's limited. Secondly, Mike Lindell. I want to say this again. Until Kohl's, Bed Bath & Beyond, HEB stores, Mayfair stores, until they repent and reverse course on this evil thing they have done by trying to cancel a patriot and a hero and a friend of mine, Mike Lindell, I'm asking you, please don't shop in those stores, because this is really despicable. They're probably still carrying the stock that they have from Mike Lindell, but they have said, that's it. We're not going to carry his stuff. That's as un-American, anti-American as it gets. if you want to get, actually, I'm asking you also to support Mike Lindell because he's really struggling. I mean, they have hit him hard. And when they hit somebody like this, you have to stand up and defend them. You have to, because they'll hit you and they'll hit me. They already have. So please go to his website. You can go to mypillow.com or mystore.com. You can get most of my books at mystore.com. And you use the code Eric. If you use any other code, the money goes to Fox News or whatever it is. So use the code Eric. Tell your friends. We'll be right back. Folks, every now and again, I need something different. And that's where my friend Doug Giles, or is it Giles, will come into the program and just blow my mind on any number of levels. Usually he's written a book and we can talk about that, but we're talking about all kinds of stuff. Doug Giles, welcome to the program. I love to see you.
Eric, how you doing, big dog?
I'm doing all right. You're a hunter, you're an artist, you're an author, you're a taxidermist, you're a carnivore. I don't know what you aren't, but the point is your books and your way of speaking are just, I don't know, I would say somehow invigorating. So I just love to have you on. Your new book is called Badasses, The Women. I think, is that the title?
No, it's you're close. It's Biblical Badasses. The Women. So it's a first in a series.
Biblical Badasses, colon, The Women. Biblical Badasses, colon, The Women. The cover is a painting of yours. You do paint. You pretend to be, you know, this macho man that you wouldn't be able to pick up a paintbrush. It would just be too effeminate for you. And yet you have painted all these beautiful, amazing paintings. And by the way, people want to check you out. Is your website just DougGiles.com or what is it?
Yeah, it's DougGiles.art. That's for my old paintings and my charcoals and stuff.
Doug Giles. Okay, Giles is G-I-L-E-S. DougGiles.art. Yeah. Your stuff, it's amazing. If I get some money, I'd like to buy some, but that's just not in the Lord's plan yet. Now, listen, Doug, I want to talk about this book, The Badasses. Biblical Badasses, The Women. So you've got a whole series planned of biblical badasses. What do you mean when you say badass? Are you getting that from the Aramaic or from the Greek? Like, I'm not really clear. Where do you get badasses from?
Yeah, that's a positive as far as I'm concerned. Like if I said Eric Metaxas is a full on stonking biblical badass, I just praised you, buddy. Cause I mean that you scare demons. I mean that your writings terrify principalities and powers when you go out and speak, you know, El Diablo, don't dig it. So in regards to, and, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not churchy. I'm so tired of, you know, this sterilized, baptized language and everybody's got to watch their pints and quarts. I'm a redneck from West Texas. I talk to real people. I don't, it's hard for me to, you know, to stomach a lot of, churchianity that Christianity's become. So I just do my thing and it's been working for 30 years. And these books appeal to people that would never darken a church's door. And I dig it. I was baptized in dirty water. So I write these kind of books.
Well, listen, it's why I dig you, my man. And I consider you a modern day badass. And that is a compliment coming from me. So let's talk about this. Biblical Badasses, The Women. Why do you start with the women? Probably, I'm just guessing, because it's like that's the most shocking. It's like we're going to start off with the badass women of the Bible who are driving tent pegs through skulls and all kinds of loony stuff. So who are some of these lovely women?
Yeah, well, of course, I did the women first because ladies first. And I never wrote a book to women before. You know, all my stuff's towards dads or dudes or, you know, highlighting some kind of effeminate aspect in American pop culture. And I didn't even know, Eric, women could read till like a year ago. And I saw
Isn't that fascinating? Listen, we've come a long way, baby. I have to say, women are smoking cigarettes now, wearing pants. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right. So you, it's kind of funny.
Let me tell you how I got into this, because before I became a Christian, religious women scared the bejesus out of me. And because I didn't darken a church's door until the Trinity gang tackled me on December 7th, 1983, not for a funeral, not for a wedding. But when we'd go on vacation in the summer, we usually go to one of my relatives' house and they'd have TBN on. And I was like, TBN? I don't know if you remember it back in the day, but they had big, big hair and big eyelashes.
I've never heard of TBN. Is that a sports channel? What is TBN?
Yeah, kind of. It's a Trinity Broadcasting Network, and I'm not disparaging whoever owns it, you know.
I've never heard of it, and it's Matt Crouch and his family. No, I'm on TBN, and TBN, actually, speaking of I've come a long way, baby, they've come a long way, baby. But I can imagine when you were a kid,
oh boy,
all religious TV, not just TBN, all of it was
you know,
totally different from where we are today. It was
when I'm thinking about, you know, what a Christian woman looks like, what a biblical badass woman looks like. I'm thinking, you know, my examples was that, or the shabby Pentecostal woman, you know, who Jenny Craig in bathing is unrighteous. And the worse you look and the less you exercise or cut your hair, the more holy you are. And then I also had the displeasure of meeting, you know, before I got converted, everything's the devil, kind of Bobby Boucher type lady, that if I was listening to Huey Lewis in the news, singing Stuck on You, all of a sudden, you know, I'm in a demonic atmosphere that's going
to, hey, Huey is right out of the pit, brother. You need to burn that 8-track.
Yeah. So, and then there's the other, Christian woman that, you know, I was a rapscallion, man. I used to deal drugs. I've been thrown in jail and prison.
Now, just to be clear, drugs, dealing drugs, that's not biblical. You're not advocating, for example, drug dealing on this program, just to be clear, because there's a lot of potential drug dealers listening. I want to make sure that we're very clear that we come against drug dealing. But you're telling me before the Trinity gang tackled you in 1983, you were selling drugs.
Yeah, I was a scallywag. So, and when I would bump into, you know, these Christian women, I seldom heard that, hey, Doug, Jesus loves you. What I got from most Christian women was, God hates me and I owe him money. And so when I'm thinking about, you know, writing a book about Christian women, I hail from my past and all the kind of weird examples, kind of like I did in my book, If Masculinity is Toxic, called Jesus Radioactive. When I thought about Christian men, I thought about wussies and cardigan wearing nice guys. And then you get into the biblical characters and they're warriors, wild men, prophets, patriarch, kings. I mean, they're full on just epic, epic warriors and wild men. And the same thing with the women. You know, when you think, you know, church lady, you think Enid Strick, Dana Carvey's character from Saturday Night Live, you know. But
well, those women and men exist. And of course, the problem is, as you realize, and it's why you write your books and do what you do, they lead a lot of people away from God. They're very confusing. They're sending a mixed message at best. And you, you feel kind of a calling to underscore the badassery of some of these biblical figures.
Because I think it just, you know, just like you said, it tarnishes the greatest story ever told, or it makes it boring. And to me, if you're to take the greatest story ever told and deduce it down into just staid, placid, you know, just absolute boring existence, because the biblical badass women, oh my God, brother, they had some of the most epic lives that are invigorating, fascinating. And God picks, you know, certain girls just out of nowhere, man, and just absolutely transforms their lives and other people's lives. And I wanted to do the counter narrative to, you know, well, Christianity, you know, it's like, it's torturous, it's legalistic, it's boring. It's like, no, it's not. Not the stuff that I live, not the stuff that you live, not the stuff that the girls in my book live. That stuff will, you know, blow your pantyhose off your legs if you start following Christ, not yours, but the women who are wearing pantyhose, I guess.
or Joe Namath. Yeah, well, listen, so who are some of the women? Just give us some names of some of the women in the book. I'm fascinated here.
Yael, which you brought up, which, my brother's, one of my buddy's wife, she posed for the cover for this. I painted her. So that depicts Yael. And the thing that I like about Yael is that she's just a housewife, man. She's just
a housewife with a tent peg and a mallet.
Right. She's just doing her thing. And, you know, they lived in tents back then. So when they constructed their domicile and stuff, obviously she knows how to swing a hammer and place a tent peg. And she's also was deceptive because she told Sisera to come in. He's running for his life. The enemy of God is fleeing from Deborah, who's another badass woman, her and her armies. And all of a sudden, Sisera goes into Yael's tent and he thinks he's going to hide out there. And so, you know, your typical little church lady, she would say, well, come on in. I'll pray for you and take care of you and hide you. And she doesn't hide him. She waits till he knocks out after she gives him a cup of warm milk. And while he's in a deep REM delirium, she gets a tent peg and nails his noggin to the terra firma. And
isn't that sweet? I don't think that's what Jesus would have done. And I rebuke you. When we come back, folks, I'm talking to Doug Giles. I think we're talking, you're hearing the other side of the story, folks. You're hearing the rest of the story, stuff that you will not hear on all those other programs. I love it. We'll be right back with my friend, Doug Giles. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Doug Giles, G-I-L-E-S. Doug, your book is called Biblical Badasses, The Women. And you're just telling us, I guess because I'm talking to you, I want to use the word gnarly. You're telling us one of the gnarliest stories in scripture. It's confusing in a way, right? You have a bad guy, Sisera, who runs into this woman's tent to hide. And she, being a warrior, being someone who sees him as evil, as the enemy, kills him. Now, I don't know if that goes according to Augustine's just war theory. Maybe she didn't need to go about it this way. Nonetheless, she did. So how is that not murder? Is she a combatant? She's a warrior in this war?
Yeah, in the OT, the Old Testament, in that economy, that was greenlit by Jehovah. And they had, you know, warring tribes always trying to take over you know, their land and their people and stuff. So, you know, if you do stupid stuff, watch out for biblical badass women. And Yael, she didn't get chastised by the prophetess Deborah. She got praised. And what's funny is that in Deborah's song of praise, she includes Yael in killing Sisera, and she eviscerates Eric. And it's hilarious. All the little tribes of men who didn't come to God's aid, who didn't show up for the fight, who are, you know, twiddling their thumbs and pulling lint out of their navel when they should have been kicking butt and taking names. And God said, listen, the praise is not going to go to the boys. The praise is going to go to Yael because she acted in God's behalf. And all you other guys were curled up in the fetal position, drinking Maalox, scared of getting into the battle.
It's interesting because we are always living through a time where this kind of stuff is important to talk about. I mean, right now in the church across America, there are a lot of men who really don't subscribe to what you're talking about and what I'm basically agreeing with. I mean, this idea that there's a time to fight, we have often bought into a really bad idea of what it means to be a Christian. If I post something on Twitter or someplace kind of making fun of somebody or something like that, people act as though that is inappropriate. Jesus wouldn't, you know, crack a disparaging joke about a public figure or something like that. Like, it really is. We're living in a time where men oftentimes they don't know what it is to be a man. They sort of feel like that's kind of to be not nice on any level is Jesus was always nice. And you realize, well, no, he wasn't. And I know you and I've talked about this before, but it is interesting when the women do things like what you're talking about. I find it funny. I don't remember that passage where Deborah praises, where she praises Yael and makes fun of the guys who were kind of hanging at home.
Oh, it's embarrassing. Can you imagine? You've got eternal scripture inspired by the Holy Ghost that's going to be around for many, many moons after you and I take our audio siesta. And the only thing that it mentions about you is that you are a coward when you should have ponied up and played the man. And Deborah, she lets him have it. And that's what I think is, again, you know, we think, you know, being nice is just, you know, that's the call of God on our life. I don't see, you know, I wrote a whole book called Masculinity's Toxic called Jesus Radioactive. And I went systematically through the overt masculine traits of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew. And bro, he's anything but nice. I mean, they killed him for a reason. He had a mouth on him and he didn't mind calling people out. He called an immigrant woman, Eric, a dog. She's like, Jesus, help me. My daughter's acting like Miley Cyrus. And Jesus is like, I don't give what's holy to dogs. She's a Syrophoenician woman. She's and here Jesus called her a dog. And you know what she did? She didn't start some kind of hashtag movement trying to get Jesus canceled. She didn't, you know, get some big group on Facebook to try to get the Holy Ghost and the Father to fire Jesus. What she did do, she played his riddle back to America and said, yeah, but the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. And Jesus is like, boom, baby, your faith has saved you and your kid's going to be okay, because you didn't just take up an offense when Jesus put a zinger across the net. You know, you volleyed it back in a beautiful fashion. So to make Jesus nice and to make these girls nice, it's just stupid. You know, I'd like to find whoever did that and I don't know, maybe revoke their preacher's license.
Well, you know, but what we're talking about, Doug, it's interesting, right? Because we are not saying that women should be like men. We're not saying that men should be violent. But what we are saying is that it's a little bit more complicated than the churchianity you often hear would make it. God calls us to be warriors. He doesn't call us to be like looking for a fight. At the same time, he calls us to be tough. And that doesn't mean that we can't be gentle. It doesn't mean that we can't be polite. It is complicated. And when people try to reduce it, that's when you run into trouble, because they make these rules and laws that are simply not true. But I've encountered so much of this in the last couple of years, just, you know, online, that it's stunning to me that there are this many Christian men in particular who really don't understand the breadth of what it can be to be a man. They have a very narrow view.
Right. And that's why, you know, I highlighted Jesus' overt masculine traits. And if masculinity is toxic, call Jesus radioactive, because he's the one we should be imitating. And you look at what he did when politicians went rogue, when his disciples did, you know, dunderheaded type stuff. Or when the Pharisees, you know, dug their heels into their.
I want to hear specifics on this when we come back, folks. I'm talking to Doug Giles, G-I-L-E-S. Do not go away. Folks, I'm talking to Doug Giles, G-I-L-E-S. The book is Biblical Badasses, The Women. I love it. I love it. Okay, so who are some of the other women that you mention in your book?
Yeah, there's some. I like Mary, you know, Jesus's mom. When most people think about, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, you look at all the artworks. I'm an artist, so I, you know, study a lot of art history. Got a minor in it, you know, in my undergrad studies and stuff. And she's always depicted as, you know, kind of this late 20s, early 30s type chick, you know. She was a teenager that lived in a crap town, Eric, talking Nazareth. And people used to say in the Bible times, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. So in regards to her appeal, her obvious appeal, but I like to put it towards, because I live out in the middle of nowhere in the country in southwest of Austin on a few acres. It's a glorious place. But there's some crap towns around here with some teenage girls that probably think that God doesn't pay attention to them, that he doesn't see their heart's desire to be used by God. And that's exactly what God did with Mary. Again, a teenager, 14-year-old, you know, can you imagine having that kind of altercation with God and the angel and getting impregnated by the Holy Spirit? So my whole point with Mary is, and the interesting aspect with them is that, girl, if you're sitting there in your double-wide trailer home in a crappy town in wherever America, and you're faithful to God and your heart is towards him, let me let you in on a little secret. His eyes roam all over the planet looking for you, so he's going to use you greatly. So cheer up. I don't know how it's going to look or when it's going to happen, but boy, oh boy, did he find Mary and several other of these ladies just out of nowhere, Eric. And to me, that's the thing that makes this stuff cool, exciting, and you don't know where it's going to go, instead of just typical churchy type stuff that makes you just, you know, want to check out, you know, this.
Well,
I
have to tell you, I mean, this is important stuff that you're saying. It's very important stuff. The way you just characterized Mary, we don't know how old she was, but we know she was almost certainly well below 20. And we forget that how raw that is. I mean, just it's incredibly raw when you think about it. This is not somebody who's had any time to figure anything out. She's just coming into her adulthood. So yeah, that's a beautiful way of putting it.
Yeah. So let's go from a teenage virgin living in a crap town, you know, with no future on the horizon until God came along. Rahab is one of my favorites. Just absolute, like, Eric, if you're going to, you know, take your ministry and take it into some unknown part of the world and do some big expansion, national expansion of Eric Metaxas Ministries, who would you seek out to spearhead as you go into a new nation, state, or whatever? Would you get some spokesman, some staid Christian spokesman like Mike Pence, or some cute girl like Candace Cameron, who's very winsome and she's Christian? Or,
well, Mike and Candace are people that I happen to like, but I know what you're saying, man. You're telling me maybe I'm going to look outside the camp. I'm going to go hunting for somebody who's not so buttoned up. And who would that be? For example, somebody like Rahab?
Yeah, a prostitute. And God sends his two ministers to a prostitute's home and says, listen, when you guys spy out Jericho, you're going to stay at this hooker's house. And I know it sounds like ministry, you know, today.
Well, the term hooker was invented, you know, in the Civil War, but we're not going to get into that. I get where you're coming from.
So here's, here's the whole thing with Rahab. If somebody's listening right now and you've had a tawdry sex life and you think there's no way in Hades that God's ever going to use and utilize you, he picked Rahab, deceptive Rahab, who would lie to the king of Jericho and who guarded and saw the potential in the two spies and the armies of God as they initially came into Canaan for conquest. He used that girl, man, and she became Jesus's great-great-grandmother. Hey, Jesus, what a great-great-great-great-granny used to do? Well, she used to pole dance, and she worked and she worked at Tootsie's. You know, and
yes, we're not exactly praising her for being a prostitute. We're just saying that God sees and loves everyone and wants to pull them into his orbit so that he can use them and bless them and change them. So it's kind of interesting to think she became a mother. I never really thought about that Rahab became a mother, and then she becomes part of this scarlet thread leading to Messiah. And it does seem clear that God makes a particular point. He doesn't say, I'm going to weave this thread away from people like Rahab. No, he makes a particular point of saying, I can use anyone. I am the one who chooses whom I will use. And I do this to confound people who have a phony religious view of who I am.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it echoes Paul's sentiment to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. It says, hey, buddies, you guys are solid, smart, wise, rich. It says God takes the base, the corrupt, the things that aren't, so that he might bring to naught or nullify the things that are, so that when it comes to boasting, nobody can boast before God. He picks from the back of the line. He'll pick an old woman. He'll pick a prostitute. He'll pick a teenage virgin, a virgin living in a crap town. And that, to me, again, that's what makes the Bible appealing. That's what makes God invigorating. And that's what, you know, people who are listening, you know, guys, girls, you should have hope, man. If your heart is open to the call of God, then saddle up, baby, because he's going to come into your life and use you tremendously. And it doesn't have to be your typical goody-goody type Christian life. It can be crazy like these women and the guys. You know, you're in the lineage of prophets, of warriors, of wild men, of people who shook the nation, brother.
It's beautiful. We're talking about God. We're talking with my friend Doug Giles, G-I-L-E-S. You can go to DougGiles.art, check out his paintings and his taxidermy, perhaps. We'll ask him about that when we return. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Doug Giles, G-I-L-E-S. The book is Biblical Badasses, : the women. Are we going to have biblical badasses, the children, at some point? I'm sure we will. Now, I got to ask you, because some people are watching this on YouTube or whatever, behind you, it looks like a bear trying to eat fruit off of a tree or something. Is that, did you kill that bear?
Yeah, I hunted it with Wayne Woods, who's an incredible master guide in Alaska. And he offers Purple Heart hunts for guys that have been wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan in honor of his son Shane that was killed in Ramadi. And so I was hunting with Wayne with my daughter Regis, who's been a huntress for many, many moons. And I took him in Prince William Sound, Alaska. The only thing I don't like about the taxidermy, I'm not a taxidermist, but my taxidermist put him on a way smaller form. Eric, his stomach comes out to his paws, and this thing looks like it's been P90Xing or something. You know,
it looks like an otter.
Well, he squared 10 feet, so he was 9 feet tall, and he was 11 feet wide, so he's a perfect 10-foot bear, proper 10-foot bear, and just a glorious time, man. And I feel really fortunate to not only be able to hunt one of these tremendous moose munching prehistoric toads with my buddy Wayne Woods, but just the place, you know, Prince William Sound. Oh, just gorgeous.
You know what? You and I have talked about this. The only time I've ever been hunting in my life, I did a lot of fishing growing up, but the only time I've shot guns, but hunting, the only time I ever hunted was with Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty down in their blind down there in Louisiana. I've never gone hunting in any place like Alaska, never been to Alaska. And you and I talked about this. I would love if God ever opened that door to join you in a place like that. I cannot imagine what that must be like.
If you want to go hunt mountain goat in August or September, it's done. Say no more.
Mountain goat? Yeah, I've got a hankering to kill me some mountain goat. No, I never thought about that, actually. I never thought about mountain goat, but I like the idea of grizzly bars.
I'll go for the mountain goat, and you can whack a black bear. How's that?
And I can whack a black bear. Yeah. I want to get me a grizzly. No, I just the fact that you have this taxidermed creature behind you. You know, I just want to be clear. You know, did you know that Jesus was a vegetarian?
Right. Except for the Last Supper.
Except for when he ate lamb, which technically is no longer considered a vegetable, and he ate fish. But actually, you know who really was a vegetarian? Seriously? Have you heard of Adolf Hitler?
Yeah, I was going to say Satan, you know.
Adolf Hitler was a vegetarian. I just want to make that very clear for my vegetarian friends. You think you're cool? Unfortunately. You
know, what's interesting about the vegetarians is when they eat their little edamame beans and their baby carrots and their spinach and stuff, ask the store or the farmer if these came from farms where no animals were hurt, because farmers have special permits where they can shoot deer, boar, rabbits, and any other thing that preys upon their precious little vegetables.
So by eating vegetables, you're supporting the murder of bunnies? Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely.
I will never eat another vegetable again. I can't believe I'm hearing this. This is very upsetting. You know, the other thing about bears is that, you know, grizzly bears are not necessarily vegetarians. So if you hate meat eaters, you got to kill you a bear. But I've never had bear meat. Have you ever had bear meat? We're out of time. Thank God we're out of time. Thank God for you. We don't have to talk about bear meat. My friend, Doug Giles, G-I-L-E-S. The book is Biblical Badasses, The Women. Doug, I love you. I just love having you on. We got to get you on a little bit more often. You just, you invigorate me and I hope my audience. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Eric. And you guys stay rowdy.